K-Man's in focus. Dave Lewis in for Brandon Peoples, who is on assignment. And today, how lucky am I to visit with longtime friend Cheryl Collins of the Riley County Historical Society. And we're taking a look back 100 years ago. I think this is a tremendous topic. 1921 for Manhattan and Riley County. And we've talked about a number of things that, you know, that happened in 1921 on a state level, on a national level. But let's talk a bit about what Manhattan and Riley County looked like. And Manhattan, didn't you say, is what, 7,000 people?
Yeah, roughly.
And of course, you know, there was, you know, you see the early pictures of where K-State was established, you know, photographs from like one of the hills or something like that. And there's a big gap in between, you know, downtown on Points and Anderson Hall, which was what, the first building built there on campus officially for KSAC?
There
Blue Mont College, obviously.
Agriculture building on that campus.
Okay.
Before Anderson Hall. And I don't know if there were some other, because of course the farm got moved to that location before the campus got moved to that location, really.
Gotcha.
So we'll have to explore that a little bit. That would be fun.
Aggieville came along in 1889, still the state's oldest shopping district.
Yeah, and of course served those students that I think 1875 is when 74, 75 is when the campus moved over to where it is today, then close to Aggieville. And I love the idea that these students in 1921 were doing Roughneck Day, March 15th, 100 years ago today, which is kind of a, if you think about it, a fake Paddy's Day type thing without the alcohol. That parade they had.
Without? Is that before Prohibition still?
No, Kansas had bone dry law from 1881 and prohibition by local option before that.
So when did that end? Like 36?
Long time.
Yeah,
long
it was like 1936 when prohibition ended, something like that.
In the 30s, yeah.
Okay. We'll ballpark it with the 30s.
And... or 40s? I don't. I'm a little vague on that because Kansas, of course, maintained prohibition with local options for much longer periods. So we have some really intricate alcohol laws, but
we still do.
Safe to say, in 1921, K-State students had no alcohol whatsoever at their Roughneck Day. So when they were doing the parade downtown, dressed up as Charlie Chaplin and Theda Bar and the Hula Hula Girl, it was fueled strictly by water and Coca-Cola, maybe.
Hmm.
They had afternoon events in sports and field events at the college grounds. And first prize for the parade that morning went to the veterinarian department. And first prize for the stunts, and I'm not sure what these stunts were, but the engineering department won with their bucking Ford, and I'm not sure what their bucking Ford did. The newspaper said, quote, the 10 million pounds of pep and enthusiasm pent up for many weeks was allowed to escape, and the students tonight feel better for having had their day, unquote. So I think that idea of students cutting loose in the spring is an idea that's been around for quite a long time. It's just that it wasn't fueled with alcohol in 1921.
So in Kansas, the prohibition ended in 1948.
Okay.
And the U.S. The amendment was repealed in 1933. So Kansas was about 15 years behind that trend, and not much has changed since.
Well, Kansas has always been, depending on how you look at it, progressive or regressive concerning alcohol laws. So it was something that was a concern of Kansans essentially from the day we became a state. and I think is an issue that's continued to be debated today. So that's one of our threads, I think, in Kansas history that's pretty consistent. Now, Roughneck Day only got started in 1916, though, and evidently they discontinued Roughneck Day in 1925 because they traded it in for a longer Easter holiday. So instead of taking off the day of school and doing parades and stuff, they just stuck it onto the Easter holiday. And I think, I don't know this for a fact, but I think that's kind of the beginning of the origin of spring break, that longer Easter holiday that morphed into a week-long break for students.
Probably started in 1948 after Prohibition ended, huh?
Maybe.
Maybe so.
I know no relationship. Well, some of the advertisements in the 1921 paper, I think, are pretty interesting. Brewer's Bookstore was advertising, and Kipp's Music Store was advertising the Brunswick phonographs. Spot Cash Grocery was advertising Where You Meet Your Neighbor. Bannister Lumber Company advertised, of course, building supplies. Southern Funeral Home and the Ryan Funeral Home both advertised, noting they had lady assistants. So I guess having a lady assistant was an important thing for funeral homes in this period. Kohl's advertised Plan Your Easter Garments Now, and they were advertising silk and wool cloth because a lot of people were doing home sewing and they needed to get ready if they were going to get their Easter outfit done because it was 13 days till Easter. The Kohl's ad stated, home of standard merchandise, which to me is not a great advertising slogan. I mean, do you want standard or do you want the best?
Oh.
Anyway, evidently it was something they thought would work. The Spot Cash store also featured Easter clothes, but they were advertising the ready-to-wear clothes. And the Spot Cash slogans were the best for the least, no matter what the price, and Manhattan's shopping center. And of course, you can still see the Spot Cash in the tile at the entrance of their building, which is on the northeast corner of 4th and Points. The New Toggery, a clothing store at 313 Points, was going out of business. So they were advertising sales. And I thought it was interesting. Clark's Chocolate Shop advertised at that same location.
We have another phone call. Good morning, Harvey. Thanks for joining us on K-Man's In Focus with Cheryl Collins.
Hi, I moved here in 1979, and I remember something to the effect that on consumption of alcohol, if you went into a restaurant, the only way you could consume alcohol was if you were a member of the club. And that wasn't hard to do, but you had to be a member of the club in the hotel or the restaurant.
Yep, I remember those days, too. Those ended in 1986,
okay.
If I recall correctly.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Yeah, and the drinking age was separated. You had the taverns that would allow those to drink 3.2 beer.
Right. They're
and then 21 and over, the clubs had the harder stuff.
Right. So you had Club Red Man in Aggieville and the Cavalier Club upstairs. From Brothers Tavern.
Oh.
So there were different categories for alcohol based on whether it was beer or hard alcohol or those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would make an interesting topic. Prohibition and the change in alcohol laws and how that affected life here, because it was, as our caller pointed out, it was really different. They had clubs that you could bring, you brought your own bottle and they put your name on it and you were a member and then you drank out of your own bottle of alcohol. You remember those, Dave?
No, I don't remember those. Thank you very much for asking. give me a little background. The building that is now the county office building, that used to have like a dance club up on the upper level of spring dance floor?
It had the Wareham Ballroom upstairs, and there actually was a walkway across from the Wareham Hotel and a tunnel underneath. So there were two ways to get into that building. And yes, it did have a spring-loaded dance floor up there at the what is the office building today. And if you sat in the conference room in the second floor of that building, when the air conditioning or heating goes on, you can feel that vibration because they didn't take out those springs. My understanding is that they tied them down and then put the floor over it, but it still vibrates.
Never noticed that. And I've been in a few meetings, and that would be, you know, if you vote in there, you might experience that too, huh?
Yeah. It's disconcerting to me.
Yeah. Sure, we need to take another break. When we come back, let's talk a bit about, you know what, maybe what Points Avenue and Aggieville and K-State on, as well as some of the other communities in Riley County look like. And our look back at 1921. Cheryl Collins, our guest on K-Man's In Focus, back in a bit.